Welcome to episode 4 of Youngin' in Love. I'm Josh.
And I'm Taylor.
And this is our past relationships.
Last week we talked a little bit about, or a lot about, our past experiences and how they shaped us into who we currently are. And this week, we are going to be talking about our past relationships and some of the lessons that we learned from those relationships. I only thought about really the top relationships that, like, I don't know. I thought in my head, like, meant something or, like, were notable for some cause. There's only, like, 5 before Josh. So. Okay. So it only starts in high school because everything before high school was sort of pointless. It didn't really mean anything. Okay, so. My first boyfriend in high school, we dated for, like, 2.5 years, and we're still, like, good friends till today, but he was such, like, a good friend, and he helped me learn a lot about myself. From, like, him and our relationship, I learned that I actually am smart, and that I'm talented, and that I need to be, like, as courageous to go after anything I want in life. And if I give it my all, then oftentimes I will succeed. And he taught me to be confident. Luckily, that relationship ended on pretty good terms. The next relationship was a rebound from the previous relationship. Wait. We need to cut that out. Maybe the first relationship didn't end on good terms because he definitely was a rebound.
You can still have a rebound after ending on good terms.
Okay.
It's a rebound. You're sad that the other ones ended. So then you rebound into the next one.
Okay, let's just cut that. Okay. So the next relationship was a rebound from the first one. And it's going to sound really bad, but I really didn't care about him much at all. He was just someone to, like, fill my time. But he was really pushy and controlling. And when I went to go dump him, he literally told me no to my face. So I remember laughing in his face and taking this necklace off that he gave me. And I threw it on the ground and just walked away. But he taught me never to let guys push me around and make me do things that I don't want to do.
How long did that one last?
Probably a few months. Not long.
Okay.
Probably like 2 to 3 months.
How long did you say what the first one was?
2.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. the next relationship, I thought this guy was like everything. He was 2 years older than me. A point guard on the varsity basketball team. He was super smart, and he was quite literally the boy next door. But story cut short, he ended up cheating on me with another girl because I wouldn't put out. But I ended up putting out anyways because I didn't want to lose him. And later on, we broke up because he was leaving for college. And he taught me that even the boys who are really attractive and they seem to be the entire package aren't anything if they don't value what girl is in front of them, and you should never lower your standards for any boy. The next relationship taught me that I learned nothing from the last relationship because I did the same exact thing with another jerk. So after that ended, it really drove home the lessons that boys aren't everything, not to lower my standards, and that I needed to get my life together.
How much time was between the first one and the second?
Like,
like the varsity basketball guy and the second jerk number two?
Not much time, probably. It was probably another rebound. I was just really sad.
Do you think you started dating the second guy because he was very similar to the first?
Probably. Now that I think about it, they have very similar, like, physical qualities, like, which is sort of funny. But and the next guy, he was, I don't really say a boyfriend. It was like a college fling. We had fun, but he really didn't want to commit to anything. And after a while, I got tired of it. And I learned from that relationship to never settle and not to waste my time on boys who don't matter. And then the next relationship was Josh, my sweetie pie. And he taught me while we were dating that I still have a lot of room to grow and that I'm capable of being loved much more than I ever thought was possible. Still does.
I haven't really ever talked about my past relationships, have I?
A little.
Okay. I've been a little weary of this, like, all week, just because I don't know how you're going to react. With that in mind, I decided to look at all my past relationships through the lens of how they led me to you.
Okay.
So, things that I learned, or maybe didn't knowingly learn at the time, but hindsight is 2020, so I learned them now. I was in ninth grade, and I was in the school play because my friends were in the school play, not necessarily because I liked it, but I had some friends, so I followed in their footsteps, which I'm actually really grateful for today, because I met one of my best friends of all time, which was Amanda, because she was she helped out with the managing of that play, so I met her, and she was the one that actually taught me, because there were a couple girls, I guess, that liked me, and I was completely oblivious to it, and she said, she brought up whether or not I was gonna go and see if I could, like, have a relationship with one of these girls, and I was like, really? She likes me? She's like, Josh, everyone likes you. Which I've put down here, girls actually like me and I like them. That's what I sort of learned there. And then came my first serious relationship with a girl. sophomore year. And it only lasted 2 months, but for me, it really seemed like the first time that I started falling in love with someone where I could, like, I was really good friends with them and I, like, really liked, just, like, every time we hung out, we had a good time and chemistry was there and everything. She was super into tennis, though, and really focused on that. And at 2 months, she just said, that it was the end, and it sort of seemed so abrupt in one of those things where you don't really feel like you have closure. So I wrote down that it was my first broken heart, simply because it was the first time I really felt sad that something had ended. Okay, I knew this was gonna run long. I gotta start speeding it up. The next one was my longest relationship of them all. 15 months, which I guess doesn't even compare to 2.5 years. That was pretty long. And the one thing I remember from this relationship is at the end, it was 15 months, but it was really only like a year. Because those last 3 months, I think we both knew it was over and we were still good friends, but neither of us sort of had the courage to say, you know, I don't really feel for you that way anymore. And the one thing that I remember from that is at the end, actually, this was the relationship I learned the most. But during the relationship, my dad said to me that if you spend enough time with someone, you learn to love them. Where not necessarily you fall in love with them quickly because you're attracted to them, or the way that love grows so quickly when it's someone you're actually meant to fall in love with. But that as you spend enough time with someone, you learn to accept their weaknesses, and you recognize their strengths, and therefore you learn to love them. When we broke up, I felt really bad about it, and a week later, or 2 weeks later or something, I called her back, and I really wanted to, like, try and work things out, but it was really just sort of, like, me feeling sad and remembering all the good times that have gone by, like every classic love song, so I wanted to see if I could rekindle it, and she said no. And I was like, oh, grr. And if anybody knows me, I'm really competitive, and I don't really take no for an answer when I have an initiative or, like, determination to go after it. So, like any good high schooler does when he has a question that he doesn't know the answer to, I Googled how to get my ex-girlfriend back, and I found this amazing ebook, which is literally called How to Get Your Ex-Girlfriend Back. And it's a step-by-step process where this guy explains one of the main reasons that people fall out of love is because they forget who they were in the first place. That you spend so much time with someone that you begin to mold into this third person in your relationship, which is like a halfway melting pot of the two of you. And then it ends up not being either of you. So you reach the end of this relationship and you think, this person isn't the person that I fell in love with. And then the other person's thinking the same thing because it's some weird conglomerate of the two of you. So he says the best thing to do when after a relationship is to figure out who you were. So start something new, go get a new haircut, start working out in the gym. And I did everything he said verbatim. And it's like a 12-week program or something. And I got a gym membership. I would go 2-3 times a week. I studied face shapes to figure out what the optimal haircut for me is. And have had that haircut ever since because I think I look pretty good. And girls have told me I look pretty good too.
So. He does look pretty good.
And I started finding out who I was again and having fun on my own and not thinking about her. And at the end of those 12 weeks, you're supposed to contact her again because you're now that person that she had fallen in love with at the beginning. And I did. Like I said, I followed it verbatim. And at the end of it, he says, don't read the final chapter until you've made contact with her again. So we went and I think we got ice cream or something. We talked about how we'd been for the last 3 months and how we were feeling. And she said it was really good to see me again. And it was good that I was happy. And she said she liked the haircut and that we should talk again. And he talked about a twinkle in the eye that you could see because she could see what she had let go. And then I read that final chapter and he said, by now you've found out that this book works. But not only that it works, but that you found out that who you were dating didn't make you a better person. And that by now you probably don't want to be with that person anymore. And it was entirely true. I didn't like who I had become. I didn't like how that relationship had panned out. And I liked that we were friends and we had made up. So I left it at that. I moved on. That was the sort of end of my high school. I had a summer fling. And she was a really great girl. And unfortunately for her, I wasn't in a place for commitment because I was coming off of such a long relationship, and she taught me, I've actually written this in a letter to her, that she taught me how I should treat a woman, because she deserved all the respect and all the love in the world, and unfortunately, I didn't give it to her. And when I reflected upon that, because she wrote me a letter criticizing me for everything I had done and how bad of a boyfriend or of a fling I had been, how bad of a person I had been to her. And as I looked at that, nothing had ever rung so true when someone had critiqued me. And I really learned that how to treat a woman and how I wanted to treat my relationships going forward. And unfortunately, sometimes you just don't want it to be. People talk about how it's meant to be. And she had told me that she thought I was one of the only few people that she could ever see herself getting married to. And I had never even thought about it. And I felt so bad. But there's an interesting saying that our actions are representations of the contents of our heart. And that if we never act upon a principle, then we truly don't believe in it in our hearts. And I think that's what happened during that relationship. I never really wanted it to happen. And call it karma, call it the universe getting back at me. But later on, a girl did that to me, where I really wanted our relationship to progress, and I kept pushing it and asking her, and we went on plenty of dates, and I really felt like we could have something more, and she just never committed, and then we eventually had to part ways, and not necessarily part ways, because Taylor came into the picture, and she asked me out, and we started dating. And this is the part where it comes down. What are we at, like 10 minutes now? Of them just hearing Josh talk. 14 minutes. This is the end, I promise. Taylor and I started dating. We were dating for almost a year, right? When I went to San Francisco. Yeah, it was like 8 months or something. Mm-hmm. And Taylor was all in. She was ready. I think you had already told me like once or twice that you wanted to get married. Like you could see it happening.
Probably.
Or at least you hinted towards it. Right. And that's what I understood when she was talking. And I was nowhere near that. But I knew I could get there. There was something deep in my mind that although I wasn't there then, I could see it happening. But I wanted to be 100%. So I left her, and I took my heart to San Francisco. And while I was in San Francisco, I went out on dates with three different girls in a 4-month period, and was really looking to see if there was something else I was missing, if there was something else I hadn't seen. So that's why I moved myself to the other side of the country, moved myself to find people that I may never have met, a culture I had never experienced. And I found it. There was a lot of different people out there and a lot of people I loved. And with these three, I learned three very important things about Taylor that had already happened, but that I hadn't realized until I left. Number one, so from, we'll call her SF number two. I learned that I needed someone where I could always just go out. And no matter what was happening, when I hung out with her or went out on a date with her or just went to walk through the park, we would have a great time and a good time. And whether it was getting donuts or walking around a museum or looking at art, we would have a great time. And I had already done all those things with Taylor. And from SF number 3, I learned that I needed someone that would always trust me no matter what. And this particular girl trusted me with a lot of her secrets and a lot of her worries about the future. And I saw that and I responded to it, and we ended up building a pretty good friendship that was really good. And then SF number 1, which it's because it was probably the most serious one, she taught me that I needed someone that would always love me no matter what. Because at times I did lose sight of what I was doing and the impact that I had on people. But no matter what, she stuck by me. And I noticed that every time I went home and had a bad day, that I wanted to talk to Taylor. And no matter how long it had been since I talked to her, every time I called her on the phone, she would answer. And I noticed, or I realize now, that she had always loved me, even though I was not reciprocating it in the perfect ways. So after 18 minutes, to break it down for everyone listening, I really hope that what I've explained today will help men understand that we do have a greater impact on those that we have relationships with. We do have emotions, and we need to reconcile with them and understand them so that we don't hurt those that we care most about. And maybe for the women out there who don't have so much, or have a lot of hope, but can't quite see the light at the end of the tunnel, I'd ask that you take courage in what Taylor's done, and that you have hope in our story, because even though our relationship, or our past relationships, may have been dicey and the experiences that we had didn't particularly pan out well, it brought us together. And through all those steps, we found each other. And for that, I'm most grateful for.
What Josh said is true. I think a lot of relationships that people have been in, or like maybe like are in currently, like they're not like the best situation, or I don't know. And I know like it's tiring if you're dating like person after person and you have like the same result every time, or you say like you just can't find like a good guy or like a nice girl or like whatever situation you're in. But I mean, that guy, that girl, like they're out there. So don't settle, because like that guy or girl, like they're gonna show up, and at first they might not be like who you think they are or what you think you want. In my case, like after the first date, I really didn't like Josh at all. I really couldn't see myself going out with him again, but here we are, like almost, like probably 2.5 years later, almost like 3 years, almost maybe.
Three, yeah.
And we're married. I never would have thought after the first date that would have happened. So
she thought I was weird.
Yeah. So just stay patient. Stay hopeful. Keep chugging through that tunnel, and you'll see a light.
Which I think brings us full circle to the end of our introduction segments, or our introduction episodes. This will be the last episode where we talk a lot about ourselves, and these next couple weeks we're going to really talk about what it means to be young and in love. And I think what Taylor said really brings up the point that we always need to remember that we're always young enough to find love. No matter how old we are or how many failed relationships we have, I think it's always important to remember that there's almost 8 billion people in this world, and that we can find someone that we're compatible with, and that we can truly learn to love, and that they will love us for who we are and not who they want us to be. So no matter what your age or who you are or what stage of life you're in, remember that love is out there and that we can find love even in a tumultuous world.
Next week, we are going to be talking about expectations, and
it's okay.
And the many different roles that they play and how and how different expectations can change how your days go or how someone reacts. Basically, right?
Yeah. So, as well as, we'll learn about this more next week, because we're going to look up some quotes and things to back all this stuff up. But the fact that expectations can play a major role in the health of our relationship, because if we're expecting one thing and we don't communicate that to one another, and then someone does the opposite of what we were expecting, then we can get angry and mad and sort of disappointed, when in all reality it was all just our expectations. It's not that we're actually frustrated at the situation, but our expectations have created that frustration. So we'll teach you more about that next week, and also learn a lot through this next week as we study it ourselves. So tune in next week. It's going to be a really cool episode. We've had this idea. We have this really cool game that is not really a game. It's actually a party favor that was introduced to me when I was out in San Francisco, called Table Topics. And if anybody knows what those are, it's a really cool game. Just deck of cards that has questions on it that we ask each other. And they're conversation starters to eliminate small talk and really get to know each other differently. So as a bonus episode this week, Taylor and I are going to get together and just read a couple table topics. It'll be a really quick episode, probably 8 or 9 minutes, and just some really fun stuff where we're talking on the fly, and you guys get to see how we react when we can't cut and trim things out of our podcast. Just as a light refresher between this episode and next. So tune in for that, and we will see you in episode 5. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening.